Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Children's Encyclopedia of Earth by Michael Albee, a 2007 book, sort of coffee table textbook. We're up to section 5, episode 5, and we've done some chapters so far: Earth's place in space, history of Earth, inside Earth, dynamic Earth. Now we're going to look at oceans, and we'll start reading through here. So in general, we're reading through this, and this is a different textbook, and so there may be things that you may be listening because it's interesting, or maybe listening to hear things that you know are incorrect, or that I pick up are incorrect. It's important that this is generally fed to our students, or people in general, and it's a real big labour to change any of their ideas. Oceans and seas cover 71% of the Earth's surface. Average depth of the world's five oceans are approximately 3.7 kilometres. And combined, they contained about 1,370 million cubic kilometres of water. Continent extends an average of 72 kilometres along their coast of gently sloping continental shelves beneath the water. At the edge, the continental shelves, the water is about 152 metres deep. Beyond that, the ocean floor drops steeply. The deepest point at the bottom of the Mariana Trench is about 11 kilometres below the surface of the Pacific Ocean. Water on Earth. Oceans hold 97% of the Earth's water. Of the remaining 2.5%, 79% is frozen in the ice caps. 20% is below ground, and only 1%, that's 0.00025% of all the water on Earth, exists as fresh water. So, oceans, and it shows a sequence here, and it's quite interesting in here. This water in the atmosphere is 8%. Water in lakes is 52%. Water in the soil is 38%. Water in rivers is 1%. And water actually inside animals is 1%. Pretty amazing. I think it would be called animals and trees. Size of oceans. Pacific is by far the largest ocean. It makes up 46% of the world's oceans. Atlantic and Indian Oceans are almost the same size. And the Southern and Arctic Oceans are much smaller. Hemisphere. Water is not distributed evenly on Earth because the tectonic plate movements have carried continents northwards to the Northern Hemisphere. More than two-thirds of the Earth's land area is found here, while oceans carry 80% of the Southern Hemisphere. At present, the Atlantic Ocean is growing wider and the Pacific Ocean is growing more shallow. Going through, there seems to be large, more pictures here. Pacific Ocean. The world's largest ocean extends from the Aleutian Islands in the north to the border of the Southern Oceans at 60 degrees south latitude, covering about one-third of the Earth's surface. The Pacific is the deepest ocean. It's also the coldest, with an average water temperature of 3.4 degrees, and the least saline or salty. The salt content averages at 34.7 parts per thousand. The vast area and depth means that the Pacific provides a wide variety of habitat for living organisms. Intense tectonic plate activity surrounding the Pacific has produced many volcanic islands. Natural resources. The upward flow of nutrient-rich water off the Peruvian coast sustains the world's largest fisheries. The Northern Pacific also supports important commercial fisheries of cod, sea bass, salmon and tuna. There are mineral oil gas reserves off continental shelves around the oceans. Thanks very much for telling us. There's a series of Pacific facts. The blue-footed boobies eat only fish and breed on islands of South America. Yellow Pacific tang is plant-eating fish that lives on shallow reefs. Thanks very much for telling us all that. Oh, the Atlantic Ocean. The world's second largest ocean, covering approximately one-fifth of the Earth's surface and the warmest, and on average, the water temperature is 3.7 degrees. A stunning 0.3 degrees hotter. Wow. It's also the salties. Ocean water contains 34 point. So it's only 0.2% parts per million more. Just the point is 8 kilometers at the Milwaukee Deep in Puerto Rico Trench, along the ocean floor from Iceland at about 58 degrees south. A large underwater mountain range called the Mid-Atlantic Ridge divides the ocean into two sections, each consisting of several basins. The ocean is widening about 1 inch, or 2.5 centimeters per year. Natural resources. The Atlantic Ocean has some of the world's richest shallow water fisheries, although many have been overexploited. There are oil and gas reserves off the African, Caribbean, Gulf of Mexico coast, and mineral reserves including precious stones off the South and North American Africa. Again, there's pictures of a walrus, dolphins, offshore oil rig, and Azores, a group of Portuguese islands in the North Atlantic, but it's not an island at all, would you see here. The Indian Ocean. Indian Ocean is the third largest ocean, over 21% of the world's total ocean area. It's bounded by Africa in the west, Arabian Sea, Bay of Bengal, Indonesia, Australia to the east. Southeast Oceans. North of the equator, the Indian Ocean climate is dominated by monsoon winds. Tropical cyclones sometimes develop in the Bay of Bengal. Thank you very much. Warm water restricts the growth of marine algae in which fish feed. It's got nothing about this temperature or thing. Fishing is therefore limited. Aside from shrimp and tuna, there are large offshore oil and gas reserves. Beach sands contain minerals that several countries are exploiting. I think they've got a low suit here. Arctic Ocean. Arctic Ocean is the smallest and shallowest of the world's five oceans. It's almost completely landlocked by North America, Eurasia, and connected to the Pacific through the Bering Strait and Atlantic through the Greenland and Labrador Seas. The ocean is roughly circular and divided in the mid-ocean ridge to two basins, the Eurasian and North American. Most of the ocean is covered by ice during the winter, and some areas remain frozen in summer. In recent years, the thickness and area of ice has been decreasing. The salt content of the Arctic Ocean varies seasonally as the sea ice expands and retreats. There's a new man making igloo, which probably took 2 hours to build. Okay, thank you very much for that. Colourful wooden houses in Spitburn Island, which is right up to the north here. And a large polar bear, for some reason they've got some red marks there showing Greenland. Greenland has a lot more than its original inhabitants. Spain. What is it I think it's not Providence. This is really bad Iceland story. The Southern Ocean. The Southern Ocean did not officially exist until 2000, when the International Hydrographic Ocean formally defined the boundaries of the waters between latitude 60 degrees and the continent of Antarctica, sometimes called the Circumpolar Sea. The Arctic Ocean is the world's fourth largest ocean. Surface area's temperature range from minus 2 degrees to 10 degrees. With no continent to slow deflect them, the winds of the Southern Ocean blow without interruption right around the world. The region is known for its ferocious winds, high waves, sea ice, and widespread areas thickness of winter ice has increased over recent decades. Absolute lie. And there's stories here. There's a picture of an eel. An Argentinian research station. I don't know why you want to watch it. Spreading seas. The ocean basins, or underwater depressions, cover about 65% of the Earth's surface. Layers of sediment cover the ocean floor, but beneath the sediment, the ocean crust is made from basaltic rocks. Continental contains rocks that are billions of years old, but oceanic crusts are no more than 200 meters old. Mid-ocean ridges run through all oceans that mark the boundaries between tectonic plates that are moving apart. Oceans expand as magma pushes through, and they show this thing, which is just not true about why they're expanding this force. It looks as though it's true. It's hard to disagree with it. Dense oceanic crust is pulled beneath the lighter continent crust where the two collide, and the oceanic crust sinks into the mantle. So it's really basically pulling it across. So there's obviously a heat source in there to do it, but they're actually dragged across. Changing shape. And it is true that there's more heat there, but it may be not heat there, it's just because the crust thins, it's pulled out, thins, and heat rises up between it. Parting the landscape. The ocean begins to move apart along the margin of a continent. This forms a rift valley that floods when the rifting crosses the coast, allowing sea water to enter. Spreading contains the flooded rift valley. Magma forms a central ridge that will become ocean. Well, okay, currents. Here's a really interesting thing. Warm air rises over the equator and falls in the outer regions of the north-south poles. This movement carries heat away from the equator to produce wind systems. Surface winds push seawater along to create, ocean currents. I don't think this is at all correct. And these begin near the equator and flow east to west in both. This is just not correct. The wind does not create the current. It's the evaporation creating density fluctuations in it. So there's a falling. The evaporation with salt content means that when it cools, it sinks and flows. As they approach continents, currents run away from the... Well, this is, why bother saying that? Where did they get that from? There's no quote. This is not true at all. As they approach continents, currents turn away from the equator. They continue turning, forming circular patterns called gyres in the Atlantic, G-Y-R-E's, in the Indian Oceans. In the Arctic and Southern Ocean areas, sea ice makes some water colder and saltier. No, that's just... What? Saltier due to the evaporation. It's saltier and then it becomes heavier. This is just completely off your face and correct. The Gulf Stream is a warm current that runs up the east coast of North America before it swings across the North Atlantic to Europe. It's like a river, 50 to 90 or 80 to 145 kilometers wide. Also like a river, it forms curving meanders and circular eddy currents. So the Gulf Stream follows the curving path that eventually forms a meander. Meander keeps curving until it's almost pinched off, and you see a circular thing. My major point here is that it's the evaporation. When it evaporates, it increases in density, and when it cools, the denser water sinks, creating waves and tides. Oh, gee, this is just... I don't understand this. The gravity of the moon works against Earth's gravity to produce two bulges. The tide that moves around Earth. That just does not make sense. That is just awful. So I might do something there to explain it a bit better. Tides follow the orbit of the moon and raise and lower surface of the ocean. One bulge on part of the Earth facing the moon and one bulge on the opposite side. That is, the Earth is travelling too slow in its orbit around the moon. Towards the moon side, it's travelling too slow. And so, its acceleration... It begins to accelerate away from the Earth, and on the other side of the Earth, it's travelling too fast. So it's the Moon's acceleration is great, is pretty much the same, but it's travelling too slow for its trajectory on the Earth side, and therefore it's falling in. So the Moon can actually peel it away. And it peels away the same stuff, but it's travelling too fast. I don't know. Tides and movements along the thermocline produce waves below the surface. But surface waves are caused by winds and push the water forward. The size depends on the strength and wind over distant travels. So you can actually have waves of the tide as it comes across. Really depends. This is really poorly explained. Spring tides, when the sun and the moon are combined, and should be neap tides, is when the sun and the moon form a triangle with the earth. Their pulls partly cancel each other, which produces a weaker neap tide. So that's 4 weak tides. That's really poorly expressed. That's appalling expressed. That's awful. Ocean zones and habitats. All the oceans are connected, so there is a world ocean, which some of the inhabitants range widely through it. Most, however, stay within a particular part of the ocean. Oceans can be divided into geographical zones based on the water temperature. A second type of zones arranged in depth, based on the amount of light and nutrients. Each zone provides habitats for plants and animals. Some of the places on the ocean floor, hot water containing dissolved minerals spout from the crust. Only very special life forms can exist in these strange things. They show this beautiful graphic. This like a big beaker with the vents and sea creatures and increasingly weird sea creatures coming up, right up to the little mammals and everything at the top. 200 metres going down to 3,000 metres. Underwater landscapes. Beyond the shore, the sea floor slopes gently down to the continental shelf until it hits 150 metres deep. The angle gets steeper on the continental slope. At the bottom lies an abyss plain, a vast expanse of ocean, more than 2 kilometres below the surface. The ocean floor contains fracture zones, isolated hills and seamounts. Darker zones. I think this is incorrect here. Okay, so otherwise we'd have a blue laser. Green laser is the best part of the two. Light is made up of colours of the spectrum, each one with wavelengths. Water absorbs red, the longest wavelengths, quickly, followed by the other colours. Green and blue travel the deepest, but eventually no light at all gets through. Here they're showing blue is the greatest depth, but it's not why the oceans are blue. It's due to reflection of the sky above. Coral reefs. Coral covers 500,000 square kilometres in the tropical and subtropical areas. They grow best in brightly lit, clear waters of 23 to 25 degrees. Coral polyps are small, soft-body animals and build external skeletons called coralite for protection. Reef-building polyps live side by side with their coralites fused together to form a coral album. So they're symbiotic things. And there's an animal, and it has an external skeleton. Now, the polyps live side by side with the coralites fused together to form... Okay. No, because an algae. Okay. As individual polyps die, others settle on top of the abandoned coral albums. Little by little, the structure grows into a coral reef. Algae grow on the outside of the coral polyps, I think inside, mate. Together, the waste products from the polyps, they form the basis of some of the world's richest ecosystems today, however. Most coral reefs are fragile habitats. Well, I was just going to say that for some reason the corals, they do move, but they actually provide habitat for the algae, and the algae live inside them. So they actually farm the algae. Coral requires clean water. Algae that live on the coral form a community that brings food to the polyps. The algae need light to make their own food. Reefs rarely occur below 60 metres. Corals are sensitive to temperature, so they may grow in warm tropical or subtropical waters. Inside a coral polyp. The polyp consists of a hollow digestive chamber attached to a disc base. The mouth at the top, surrounded by tentacles, are used to capture food. Zooanthae, a single-celled creatures, that live and feed inside the chamber. So I just find this hard to get. They're actually saying so that's something I'll have to check up. What is zooxanthae and how does this go? So they have a digestive chamber. So there's a tube and it goes into a digestive chamber. So they've got a sting cell. So I have to understand this. Crown of thorns starfish have been feeding on coral polyps, attacks reef throughout the world. They cause considerable damage to Australia's Great Barrier Reef. Reefs also suffer from bleaching caused by loss of the algae due to pollution and temperature. So they expel their things. Purple and California hydro coral is a coastal species occasionally found in cold water. Barren corals live in warm, shallow water. Their name comes to their appearance. Well, that's, thanks very much. So I have to learn what zooxanthale, what they are, and why that piece of information isn't there. Along the coast. Again, this I think is a children's encyclopedia. Hong Kong is crowded, so the authorities are filling the bay and building on top. The expansion already covers about 31 square kilometres. When more is planned, filling the bay destroys the original underwater habitat. The coast is where the land meets the sea and interact. What happens depends on the energy of the waves, resistance of the land, sea storms hurl water against the shore with great force. Waves erode even the hardest rocks, cutting into hills, creating sea cliffs. If the coast is sheltered by headland or offshore sandbar, the waves exert less force. Plants and animals thrive in rock ponds, tides expose sandy beaches, but also build them elsewhere. Wind can drive dry sand inland and build coastal dunes. Sandy beach. A beach has distinct zones. The brem is a hill of sediment piled up by the waves. Currents sometimes create a build-up of sand called a sandbar. Most of the sand grains are made up of eroded quartz, but white sand consists of many finely grained seashells. Thank you for telling us. Living on the edge, seabirds roost on the nest on cliff's edges close to the water, and it supplies their food. The tufted puffin nests in a hole along the northern Pacific shores. Oh, okay, I didn't know we had a Pacific puffin. Between the tides, and I'm going to have to go back and check out that thing. In tidal pool, plants and animals living on the shores must cope with being dry and then exposed to salt water and rain. Rock pools in the zone between the high and low tides are refreshed every time the sea water flows at high tide. Seaweeds grow on rock pools, and many animals live there permanently, among them the sea anemones, hermit crabs, mussels, and several kinds of fish. So this is good for kids. Along a rock shoreline, habitats along rock shoreline are divided into zones often marked by different coloured seaweeds. Waves splash over the organisms in the splash zones. The intertidal zone is exposed between high tides. Organisms in the subtidal zone are always underwater. Below the sea, red seaweed or huge brown kelp spend most of their lives covered by sea and exposed only if the tide is very low. Between high and low tide, brown ribbon-like wracks and bright green seaweed live on the rocks that are underwater, high tide, and exposed in the air at low tide. Above the sea, bacteria cling on the rocks that have splashed with waves. Splash zone. It's very slippery. Okay, here we go. Into the deep. Oh, dear. And this is classic children's encyclopedia. With increasing depth, the ocean becomes darker and colder. The pressure becomes much greater. The ocean is divided into layers based on these changes. Life is most abundant in the upper layer, where there's enough light for algae to make sugar to buy their food. This is the sunlight zone above the continental shields, and extending about 200 metres. Many of the fish living in darkness below the sunlight zone are marked with spots of light. They depend on food particles that sink above their bodies and must withstand huge pressures. They cannot survive if they're brought to the surface. Scientists use submarine, especially designed submarines, submersibles, special designed submarines to study the deep ocean inhabitants. These vessels have bright lights and mechanical arms and hands to collect samples. American Elephant has reached nearly 4.5 kilometres, and the Ocean Mir has reached 61 kilometres, sorry, 6.1 kilometres. Japanese submersible Chinka has descended to 6.2 kilometres, the deepest of all. The Habitat Watch fishing fleet, which caught such a large number of fish in the sunlight and twilight zones of the oceans that stocks are now seriously depleted. Southern bluefin tuna has been hunted to the point where it is in danger of becoming extinct. Good on ya. And here's a picture of some 28 things. There's these things which you cannot see what they are. They're tiny little blobs. Number 28, deep sea isopods found at all depths. Most species are found in the deepest part of the ocean. Anglerfish, giant squid, filter feeding sponges, all goes on. The ocean floor. Scientists believe that the abyssal plain supported almost no life. That view changed when the discovery of hydrothermal vents and cold seeps. Hydrothermal vents are places near the mid-ocean ridges where water is heated by magma and rises to the ocean floor. Water is usually heated to 300 degrees C and is rich in dissolved minerals, especially sulfides. Nearby, the temperature is about 38 degrees and the minerals support a rich variety of organisms. Cold seeps are similar, but the water is cold and rich in dissolved methane and a mixture of hydrocarbons. Black smoulders. Sulfur compounds arising from the thermal vents darken the water, making a black smoke. Minerals build the chimneys, and the black smoke is up to 10 metres high. Ventatrix animals, including the bearded worm, acorn worms, mussels, giant clams, and crabs. Circulation system. The arrows show how cold seawater seeps down through the ridge, and the magma heats it to an amazing 300 degrees Celsius. Inside the smoker, water heated by contact with the magma and rich in sulfides rises from the ocean floor. Sulfides darken the water. Minerals form the chimney around. Minerals form a chimney around the central vent. The ocean food web. That's interesting. It's always coming from the sun, and the arrows always point to what eats what. Apart from the area around hydro vents, all marine life, even deep ocean darkness, depends on the photosynthesis, a process by which tiny plants, phytoplankton, turn the sun rays into... I don't know where phytoplankton are actually classified as plants myself. The ocean food web shows that all marine organisms, as well as seabirds and mammals, spend time on land, are connected to the food they eat. The Atlantic puffin has a beak with saw-like edges that lets it carry several fish back to its young nest. Okay, and that's the end of Oceans. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.